Shall we now turn to the letter of Apostle Paul to the Philippians, chapter 4. The letter of Apostle Paul to the Philippians, chapter 4. And on page 1187 of the Church Bible. And we shall read verse 13. Verse 13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And the title I've given this evening is Promises in Dark Hours. Promises in Dark Hours. Dear friends, when you experience success and peace around you, you don't feel the need of comforting hands and encouraging words. Now, most of us, when we feel good, maybe we will go out of our way to help others. The fact of life is that our lives are full of ups and downs. Some days you can be on the top of the mountain peak, and some other days you can be in the blistering heat of the desert, where it is painful, where it is troublesome. At times you feel that you are strong to go through the pains and troubles, but maybe most of the time you feel weary and sad and depressed, unable to take the weight of the problems. And this stress can become worse if you are punished for no fault of yours. Many a time the problems come one after the other. It just piles up. In fact, at times they come two or three at the same time. And you and I are connected with different organizations, social groups, family, church, relatives, friends, neighbors, office, and our own little self. Then there's the problem of health. Beside problems that can crop up from all these connections that we have problem of our health. Also, there are commercial organizations who try to trap us and drag us through all kind of misdeeds so that they can extract some pounds from your pockets. And if you're honest and sincere, this can be a very painful experience to bear. Besides, there is the guilt that eats us up. If you are conscientious, if you are aware of your life, your moral standards, that makes you even more troubled when you do something wrong. We are hurt due to our own faults or due to the faults of others, because they have done something wrong towards us. You and I break God's commands, and sometimes deliberately, and at other times unintentionally. And this can cause stress and disturb the peace of our mind. And that is good. To mourn for our sin is good. Blessed are those who mourn, the Lord Jesus Christ has said. And there are times when you say, I don't want to do these bad things, but you are just overwhelmed by certain habit that you have developed as years have gone by. You have not nipped it into the bud, and so it troubles you. You cannot get out of it. You are trapped, you are locked in that habit. That gives you joy for a temporary, for a while, and then you feel the hangover of it, which makes you feel terrible. So you go on doing what you don't want to do. And so in the world that you and I live, we go through times of happiness and times of pain, grief, fear, both in the body, mind and soul. Well, I'm going to place before you words from the Bible. And these words are from the Lord, of course. Every word written in the Bible has come through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. They are given to His children. God has written this for His children so that we may not be terrified and spend our lives in fear, grief, and stress. I will mention just few problems we face and how God gives us assurance of His help. You may be the type of person who constantly think and feel that you are useless and good for nothing. You may find yourself in a situation where you feel you cannot do what you are supposed to do, what you want to do. And Paul was inspired to write these words in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. And he said, and he went through the same thing. He was human like you and me. But his focus was not on his weakness, but on what Christ has promised, what Christ has said. I, he says, can do all things by himself? No. I can do all things, he said, through Christ Jesus, who strengthens me. You see, so he is not going alone all the way, so that at the end he can glorify himself. No. He says, I cannot do the things that I want to do. But he said, through Christ, I can do all things who strengthens me. Before Paul writes these words in verse 12, he says, I know both how to be abased and how to be abound. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. We started by saying and describing how at one time we are fine, we are doing well, we are hopeful, we are on the top of the mountain peak, and at times we are right down into the desert, which scorches us, isn't it? And so what Paul is saying is, I have been in both these places. And as I go through life, I am in both these places. One time up, one time down. One time everything is going well, next minute nothing seems to be going well. So, but he says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthen me. In other words, he's saying, I can go through the desert. When I am going through the desert, the problems, the persecutions, the oppression, the insult, the criticism, all manner of things, I can go through it because of Christ Jesus. And also when I am happy, when everything is going well, successful, that also I can go through. Because Christ keeps me under control, that I don't go off board. As I said in the beginning, you may be on the mountain peak and you may feel fine, but then life is not always on the mountain peak. You may also find yourself in the hot desert. And when you are in such a situation, you will be able to overcome and do what is necessary through Christ Jesus. Paul practically experienced Christ's help, who made him able to do that which otherwise he would not be able to do and survive. This calls for faith. Faith in the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith in the Word of God. The words, "I can do all things," encourages us to try and not give up. It also reveals that you are not going it alone, but with and through Christ Jesus. So you are not alone. We must keep that in mind, dear friends. Not only when we talk to people about it, no, but the moment something goes wrong, we are depressed, we are attacked through all sides, we must remember, I am not alone. Christ is with me. Christ is with me. Christ Jesus is with you. He will help you accomplish it. So the help that the Lord offers is very practical and very personal. Are you being tempted at times? You know, temptations, the thoughts of the mind, whether it is against somebody or whether it is lust, come suddenly upon us, isn't it? It does not prepare us. It comes suddenly. And therefore, it is at that moment that we got to say, the grace of God is with me. I can overcome. Try it out otherwise. And you will be able to feel the victory over those sins. In Christ Jesus, through His Word, He says, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. In other words, He's saying the gift that I have given to you to overcome, the Holy Spirit, which is the gift that He has given for us, that's the reason why Christ came. That's the reason why He died. He suffered. He took our sins upon Himself. That's the reason why He was buried. He identified Himself with us through and through. And He rose again from the grave. That the Father, He may go before the Father and say, Father, I have done everything for the sake of my people, which Thou hast promised for me. And now I pray, give them my Spirit, so that my Spirit will dwell in them, so that they will be able to overcome as I have overcome. But if the gift that is given to you and me, if I'm not going to exercise it, use it, then how can we overcome? How can we be blessed? And that is so very important. Grace is already within you and within me. He dwells in us. You and I are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You and I are in Christ. Let us hold this very dearly to our heart. Next, you and I have experienced needs. And needs are different from wants. People can confuse needs with wants. It is human nature to forget that God has provided your basic needs. We have our basic needs. The guarantee that God gives to His people is that God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory through Christ Jesus. Again, verse 19 of chapter 4, the letter of Philippians. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Why was Paul able to say this confidently? Is he telling a lie? Is he just trying to encourage you so that he gets something from you? No, he has experienced it. He says, for even in Thessalonica you sent once again unto my necessity. When I needed it, I had it. And even when I did not receive it, we'll see later on how the Word of God itself was able to strengthen him. So now even here, if we are desperate for our physical needs and we are not getting our needs met, the Bible says that God will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory. So even though we may think that what we actually require is not available to us, according to God what we may actually need in that moment of our physical need is not that physical need, but spiritual need. For spiritual blessings can overcome physical needs. Spiritual blessings are a health to our flesh and our bones. That's what the Word of God is. It is a strength for our bones. The Bible declares that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Christ quoted these words from the book of Deuteronomy while he was in the desert. Jesus Christ was fasting in the desert. There was no bread in the desert. And this was Jesus' physical need. So Satan said to Jesus, "If you are the Son of God, turn this stone into bread." And Jesus said to Satan, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but from every word that comes from the mouth of God." But we may think that God has abandoned us at that moment. And this is because God does not abandon. Actually, God never abandoned us. He never abandoned us. God will supply all your needs. He will, according to His riches in glory. We feel that God has abandoned us because we do not focus on the right thing. We got to focus on the Word of God when we feel that nothing is happening right with us. And therefore, we got to depend on the Word of God. God will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory through Christ Jesus. Your physical and mental need could only be a symptom. A symptom. Your real need is spiritual. Is spiritual. So then, if physical aid is not immediately available, we got to feed on God through Christ Jesus. And that is important to understand. Don't be drowned in that problem which is around you, harassing you. Don't be thinking only on that, focusing only on that. No, your real need and my real need is a spiritual need to overcome that problem. So look onto the Word of God. Look onto the promise of God. Understand what Christ Himself has gone through. And just follow that path. That path. Let me give you another illustration. John Huss, a Roman Catholic priest, was a born-again Christian. He came to Christ Jesus and he began to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Like Martin Luther, he preached salvation through grace and faith in Christ Jesus. And he was put into prison and tried by the council. He was told to admit to what they said were errors. "You are preaching errors," they said. And he was put into prison. And in prison, he was physically and mentally in great pain. But John has said and prayed, "As long as God keeps me in my senses, I would not say such a thing, even though the whole world required it, because I could not say it without wounding my conscience." In other words, you're saying what the Word of God is saying, that's what I will say. It does not matter even if the whole world tells me I'm in error. No, I would not say it without wounding my conscience. It would wound my conscience if I say that it is error. From that moment, Huss had peace. Why? He trusted in the Lord. He looked for spiritual help from the Lord. And so, from that moment, Huss had peace, deeper and more ecstatic than he had ever had before experienced. He wrote to his friend, "I write this letter expecting my sentence of death tomorrow," he said. "How effectually God has supported me in the midst of my temptations and trials." Physical pain, mental pain, but he looked on to the Lord. He did not focus on his prison experience. He looked on to Christ. Did the angels of God free us from prison? No. His pain continued and grew worse, for he was burnt alive. He was burnt alive. But from the Lord's riches came peace. This peace cared not for food or pain nor death. During those dark hours, John Huss transcended above all physical needs. This is the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. This is the riches of Christ's glory for his saints, for you and me. Now, besides you and I being found lacking in things, inadequate in our abilities, there is also fear. Fear looms over us in so many ways. When we walk on the street, in the dark, the uncertainties of tomorrow, the credit crunch and recession, the fear that your job will be taken away, the fear that you will not be able to pay your mortgage, fear of sickness, fear of so many things. So many things. But if you are the child of God, then listen to this. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. "For this is the book for you and me, for those who trust in the Lord, whose sins are forgiven. And it is for anyone and everyone, whoever is willing to repent of their sin, come to Christ Jesus and trust in His salvation." In His salvation and in His love. So 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. "For God had not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." The Lord God expects you and me not to fear in any particular condition or circumstances. Why? This is because He has not given us the spirit of fear. Fear comes from the evil one. Fear enters in man through sin. But you and me, God has filled us with His Holy Spirit. He has forgiven us our sins. He has washed us and cleansed us and has broken that bond, those chains of sin, and He has replaced it with His Holy Spirit. He has given us the Holy Spirit. He is now dwelling in us. And from the Holy Spirit comes power, love, and sound mind. Now you will say, "But why is it that I cannot experience this? Why is it that I cannot do?" Because you are not exercising it. You have it. You have it. I have it. We have the power, the love, and sound mind. Christ had to tell His disciples so many times, "Do not fear. Do not fear. Do not despair. Do not despair." And this is such an important reminder for you and me. Sound mind dispels all superstitious and imaginary fear. We can go through this imaginary fear so many times, all your life, if we are not careful. Anxiety is a form of imaginary fear. It is true. That's why the Lord said, "Why are you anxious? Look at the birds of the air and the flowers in the field. Look at them. If the father cares for them so much that he provides for them, then why are you anxious? You who are much more worthy than all these things. They are imaginary. And that's what Satan wants us to look at, to concentrate upon. So then these fears makes us, we begin to panic when these fears come upon us. Before anything actually happens. It has not happened at all. But we are already upset. Our pressure goes up. We are troubled, maybe angry, maybe hopeless, in despair. It's a sin, you know. It's a sin to be anxious when there is not even any trouble. Not to trust in the Lord is sin. Not to have faith in Christ is sin. And the Spirit of God has given us sound mind to dispel this kind of fear. Power and love dispels real fear. It may be that people begin to hate you for your righteousness and they want to hurt you, even maybe do away with you. The Spirit of God within you empowers you and me to love our enemies. The Spirit of God empowers you to face all the financial pressures. Just think about it at this moment. For how long now, how many years now, how many decades now, you have been anxious, anxious, anxious. What has happened to you? Here you are smiling and you are happy. God has preserved you, dear friend. Life is more than eating and clothing. You are still here. I'm still here. And how much time we have wasted in being anxious over and over again. But if we only use this sound mind, this love, and the Spirit, how much more happy we will be. That we have achieved something, we have glorified God, we have pleased God, and we are able to bring joy and happiness in the hearts of people. Dying to ourselves and looking at what others lack, that we may reach out to our own brethren in helping out when there is need. And that's what the Lord is trying to tell us. Look, be anxious about this, of loving and being kind and generous, which will bring much blessing upon you and me. It will make us more and more like Christ Jesus. The Spirit of God within you empowers you to love your enemies. The Spirit of God empowers you to face all the financial pressures. What is common to all these promises is that God does not expect you to overcome problems by your own self. But He is present in you, and being with you, He enables you to overcome the problematic situation. But you will say, God, I do not have enough faith. When you say this and believe what you have just said, you are confessing that you cannot do all things through Christ Jesus. That is exactly what you are saying. God cannot supply all our needs according to His riches. And you are actually confessing that God has not given you His Holy Spirit. In other words, the Word of God is not true. Listen to these words from the Bible, Romans chapter 12, verse 3. God had dealt to every man the measure of faith. God has distributed to us the measure of faith according to how we receive it. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. What is the measure of the gift of Christ? Unsearchable, unmeasurable. Paul tells the Christians in Ephesians chapter 3 verse 8, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. He's saying, I'm the least, but this is what he has given to me. The riches of Christ, the grace of Christ, is unmeasurable, unsearchable. The more you want of him, the more you'll feel, oh, it's not enough, it's not enough. Yes, he of his own gives us his grace. To simplify it, let us say God gives you his grace worth £1,000. But now it is up to you to expand that grace in your life. God does not say, look, I have given you a grace worth £1,000. That is all you will get and nothing more. That is enough. Now if you come to me, no, I'm not going to give it to you. No, that's not how it is. You remember the parable of the talents? Jesus says that the master gave his servants for one 5 and the other 2 and the third only 1 talent. But those servants, at least the first 2, made double the amount by trading it. The master was happy with the 2 and he commended them. He was not happy with the 3rd, for this servant remained with the same that was given to him. You see, I know so many Christians who do nothing to grow in grace. They do nothing to grow in faith. They will do all they can to grow rich in worldly manner, but not in faith and grace. Dear friend, we cannot take riches up with us. But surely, the gift that Christ gives us, oh yes, it is for eternity. It is for eternity. The Lord has made His grace freely available for us. So a lot depends on us as to how much we want to grow in grace. It is very important to know that you must grow in grace. How do we grow in grace and faith? How do you make your money grow in the bank? By laboring and by investing, isn't it? So let us labor, dear friends. It's not going to just come. You know, some people, they think that God has to just keep on pouring without you laboring for it. It's given to us. He has already given to us. So let us labor in the things of the kingdom and let us invest in the heavenly things. Let us be doers of the word. Why are we called to be the doers of the word? Because the word brings grace. Obedience brings grace, dear friends. So let us be doers of the word. Let us believe in the promises of God and exercise the grace and love that God has given to us. If we do that, start even this night, by the end of the week when we come back again, we will come with fruits of thanksgiving. And all this labor that God we have put, and it has been fruitful in our thought life, in our love, in our sound mind, oh, we can offer it before the Lord and seek for more. Shall we pray?